Welcome. Welcome to everyone listening all around the world, all across the United States. We're coming to you live from the dark side of the moon. April Fools. We're not actually on the side of the moon. We're on the side that you can see, right? Beaming down to the dishes on top of a building, which are the Coast to Coast AM studios right here in Los Angeles, California. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. And yes, it's April Fools. It's April 1st. And first thing out of the gate, I have to ask, how is your day going? Did you get fooled again? Was somebody so brilliant that you just fell for it? Well, I did. We all did. And the funny thing is this. We know it's coming. We know it's April 1st. We know it's April Fool's Day. By the way, I'm not really on the moon right now. But you didn't fall for that, right? Or did you? Tonight my guests are Richard Dolan and Alex Bowes. First up is Richard, and we're going to discuss UFOs and disclosure in the Trump era. It's his new booklet. Okay, I get that. Simple enough. Richard is one of the best, and this is something that needs to be covered, and we're going to do that tonight, right? It's Coast to Coast. Later on tonight, we're going to have Alex Bowes on the show. He's an author. He's a historian. And we're going to talk about the history of April Fool's Day and the art of the hoax, followed by open lines. Now, during the open line segment tonight, I do want to hear from you. I want to hear about your April Fool's Day's experiences. You know, did you pull anything on someone? Were you pranked? Did you hear something or witness something today that you got fooled on? I want to hear about it. But again, we've got a great show lined up, but it wasn't our first choice. No. Let me explain. You see, the original War of the Worlds radio broadcast that Orson Welles did back in 1938, well, it just kind of ruined it for us. You know, that show, that prank, that hoax, well, it was brilliant, and it was almost too brilliant. But that kind of show could never be done again. It taught us a lesson. What it did teach us for sure is that you better say the word satire a lot in your joke, because some people are just going to believe what you say, and that just kills the whole April Fool's side of things. Think about it. I mean, here at Coast, we kicked around so many great ideas. And because of Welles and War of the Worlds and the thought or the possibility of things going wrong, you know, way wrong, ultimately, I had to make the call. I pulled the plug. Full stop. Pump the brakes on this truck. The world today has so many great things right on the brink. So just listen to me. Science is right there. We are on the edge with, right now, discovering exoplanets. We've got fast radio bursts, alien life, quantum theory, quantum mechanics, and the many worlds and parallel world side of things. We're right there. Science is with us. They're on our side. You have the technology that is helping to see ghosts and EVPs, all the paranormal stuff. We have sightings and contact with strange craft in our skies, and all of it is connected. And we are truly on the brink of disclosure. Not one, but many of them. But with today's high-tech world, we got an issue. We also have that latest phenomenon, fake news. That's right. That's why there's no April Fool's broadcast tonight. With what we do on Coast, the discussion, the knowledge that we share with our audience, with you, well, that makes the really cool April Fool's Day broadcast just a bad idea. Seriously. So how do we get here and why? What is the difference between a good joke, a prank, or a story? What is a hoax? And why do they sometimes just go bad, really bad? And why do we enjoy it so much when they do? Right? I know you're with me. And tonight we're going to find out. It's got a great show. You can follow me right now on Twitter at J Church Radio. That's what you want to do. And you know the drill. Twitter is always live to my left right now. The studio is Doc. Any questions or comments, just post them. Maybe your tweet will get read on the air. By the way, enjoy the bumper music tonight. And later on, we're going to open up the phones. I'm your host, Jimmy Church, and I'll be right back with our first guest, Richard Bleepin' Dolan, to discuss UFOs, disclosure in the Trump era. And you know what? This is Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church, on this Saturday, April Fool's April 1st day. But this show tonight is not a joke. Richard Dolan is among the world's leading UFO researchers, historians, and publishers. He has written a number of classics for the field, including UFOs and the National Security State in two volumes, AD After Disclosure, UFOs in the 21st Century Mind. He's also written several smaller booklets as part of his new Richard Dolan Lecture Series. Now, most recently of these is his brand of UFOs and disclosure in the Trump era. It's a booklet. What is it? We're going to find out in just a second. He has appeared widely on television, including with myself. He has lectured around the world with myself. We're good friends. And I always look forward to having Richard on the show. He's one of the smartest, one of the brightest guys that I know. Tonight, I'm going to find out what's going on with false flags. And right now he's probably laughing because I've been writing him hard about this next publication. He also hosts two radio shows. We're on a network together over at KGRA, where he hosts the Richard Dolan Show and the Eft Files. He's a publisher over at Richard Dolan Press, which features work on many leading thinkers and exploring alternative realities in our world. And I would like to welcome back to Coast, our good friend, Richard Dolan. Richard, good evening, man.
Hi, Jimmy. Thank you for having me on. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, it's always great to have you on the show, Richard. And I know you're East Coast and it's late, but thank you for coming on tonight. And I did drop the bleeping. I had to do it just for you. And
I'm always happy to be on here. It's always my honor. Thanks.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, the new booklet, let's get some definitions going. What is a booklet for you? Does that mean it's under 700 pages? I mean, what is a booklet?
It comes in a little under 700 pages. That's right. In this case, it's I think like 90 pages, something like that. It was like a year ago, I started thinking. I've done lots of lectures, of course, and some of them are popular, some are not that popular. And I thought, well, if they're a popular lecture, someone once suggested, why don't you just put them into text form, because some people prefer to read rather than watch a YouTube video. And so I've done two of those. One was on my thoughts on the breakaway civilization and secret space program. I did that last summer. And I just did this one, which is I've called UFOs and Disclosure in the Trump Era. And it's a mixture of UFO history and a great deal of analysis. My first love has always been history and politics and political analysis and geopolitics and all of that. I've never left that, even in all the years that I just focused on the UFO subject. So I like to think about these types of issues. I like to think about the idea of the reality of a UFO cover-up and try to figure out how does this cover-up work and what might be the ramifications if the cover-up on UFOs were ever to end. That's what AD After Disclosure was about. And I think I really never left this conversation. So every year I kind of rethink my thoughts and revise what I think that I know, get new information when I can get it, and then put together my thoughts on disclosure now as we're well into the 21st century and now with a new president as well. So I did want to update my thoughts and put that out as a booklet.
Well, we have so many things going on right now, Richard, at the same time. Not only the exoplanet issues, but we have the quantum theory and quantum mechanics and these issues with parallel worlds and altering of timelines. And, of course, the sightings are more today than they ever have been when it comes to UFO and craft. It feels like there is an energy, like there is something about to bust open big. Do you feel that?
I feel that absolutely. I'm so glad you mentioned this. I think about some of the key drivers of our present and of our future. And in fact, I wrote about this in the new booklet. It's funny that you mention it. But I wrote about it, and I think about it because any situation where there could be a disclosure of this UFO ET reality, if that's what that is going to include a new future in terms of the technologies that we're dealing with. So, you know, we're all aware that the hardware that we're using in terms of computing is radically getting more and more advanced. That's called Moore's Law. But there's also artificial intelligence, which is getting more and more profound. And AI theorists have been talking for years, and I think it's going to happen, where we achieve something in which a computer will pass the Turing test, where it will appear almost indistinguishable from human capabilities and go beyond into what we call the singularity. There's quantum computing. There's something known as DNA computing or molecular computing, which I've just been learning about. Nanotech, robotics, 3D printing and scanning, or organic 3D printing.
Right.
DNA mapping, gene editing, brain mapping. Think about then the way to population profile. In other words, do predictive modeling based on your web behavior, your consumer behavior, kind of like a minority port situation. Implants for greater abilities, both mental and physical. Facial recognition, voice recognition, comprehensive surveillance, mind-reading technologies, all of this is happening as we speak. And, I mean, then start thinking about how these technologies will work together in one way or another in some sort of symbiotic way or a synthetic way. I don't even think any of us, not me, not you, not anyone listening, can truly predict how these technologies and others, and I'm not even thinking about, can work together to create something totally new to transform our world. And I keep coming down to this one reality. In a world that is that unstable, that dynamic, that filled with change, can I honestly believe that we will be exactly where we are in terms of UFO disclosure 20 years from now as we are today? I mean, I just cannot possibly believe that. So something is going to give, something's going to break. And the real question is, what will break? How will it break? When will it break? What are the ramifications?
Yeah, it's almost the odds are really good, right? I would play these odds in Vegas, right? So there's too many things going on at the same time. Something's got to give. And when that one little thing breaks through, then everything else is on the table, isn't it?
Absolutely. I had a conversation a few years ago and with a very, very interesting man who I do believe has some knowledge of this. He's had a lot of high-level government experience and so on. He said to me once, look, the disclosure thing comes up in quiet conversations every 5 years or so. That was actually his words for that. And it seems to me, and they always said to me that they always decide not to do it because it's a little bit too crazy, a little bit too unpredictable. But here's the thing. There are a lot of folks out there who are very skeptical that disclosure can ever happen because the secrecy is too profound and government will never tell us. And I kind of agree with that except for one thing, which is that those people in charge of the secret who have the secret are not the only factor in this whole secrecy equation. We're in a radically transformative world. We are also part of that equation. We are transforming ourselves, and our society is just not going to look the way it does in 20 years. I mean, think about how radically changed we are from 20 years ago, and I have to think it's going to be even more dramatic in another 20 years. So we have to expect something to break.
Why the title of the booklet says the Trump era. Now, are you suggesting with that title that Trump may be one of the guys to lead this charge, or are you just putting a timeline on it? Explain that for me.
A little bit of both. I mean, we are in the Trump era, so it's current, and I wanted people to understand that this is a very current set of thinking and research that I put into it. But also, Trump, you know, it's a funny thing about him. We just went through an entire year with Hillary Clinton, candidate Hillary Clinton, who was, I mean, I think everyone had predicted that she was going to be the president, and her campaign manager, John Podesta, who is very well known to be interested in UFOs. All of this talk about Hillary Clinton as a kind of disclosure candidate, disclosure president, I mean, many of our colleagues have made these predictions. These are predictions I never agreed with. I actually never believed that Hillary Clinton was going to be a disclosure president, but there was this talk. It was always surrounding her and her campaign. And then here comes Trump, like the great surprise. Donald Trump is president. No one predicted it. Not me, I don't think anyone, but very few people. And so the question is, what now? And when I start to think about this new president that we have, a few things come to mind, all right? One is that he's, say what you will, he's not a predictable sort of character. This is a guy who does tweets at 3 in the morning, for goodness sake. So that's one thing.
Right.
The other thing about him, and this is a little more serious, is that there is, any analyst will tell you, this is looked into, there is a war going on in the deep, what is a lot of people are now calling the deep state, within the intelligence community. And it involves the White House and it involves the CIA. This is absolutely crystal clear. And there are individuals within, I mean, U.S. Senator Chuck Schumer, I think he was on Rachel Maddow on MSNBC like a month ago, and he was talking about how foolish he said Trump was for fighting the CIA. And he said, you know, the CIA can take you down 6 ways till Sunday. And the obvious follow-up question, which she didn't ask, was, are you saying Trump has to be afraid of the CIA? Which she should have asked, but that's the actual question. And clearly there is a war going on there. And in the context of a war within the intelligence community and the White House, this is a major thing going on. I really don't understand why mainstream media is not covering it more, right?
Well,
In that situation, anything can happen, is what I'm thinking.
Yeah, exactly. And what is really interesting here, Richard, is those words, deep state. You've been right. Our community of researchers, you know, us, we've been talking about this forever. But to have the White House say these say these words is shocking to me.
Well, and that's the other thing about Donald Trump, which is that he's not a mainstream guy. I mean, this is a guy who's friendly with Alex Jones, for God's sake. And he's and Alex Jones, who uses the phrase breakaway civilization on his show. And Trump, who's at really at war with the establishment media as well as the CIA. So this is, I mean, we have a president really for the first time in our modern history who's really not on board with mainstream news, with mainstream reality. And you would think from a UFO point of view that would make him perhaps a little more amenable to some of the things that we research here. Now, I have no idea what he really thinks about UFOs, not a clue. He's never talked about it publicly. But I would, honestly, on a private basis, I would be shocked if he were not interested in this subject. After all, for years and years, he was just a private citizen like anyone else. And in my experience, I have met very few private citizens who don't have a genuine interest in UFOs. Most people aren't shouting it from the rooftops, obviously.
Right.
But they are interested, and I would think he would be. So for all of, and then the other thing is the narcissism that everyone loves to talk about, which I've come to think is his secret Teflon, his weapon. After all, who could have survived the media onslaught without a massive dose of narcissism? But I could also see, and again, I'm only speculating here, that he might just think, heck with it. I'm the guy to do it.
Right.
And then here's a question to ask. Could you just imagine if he were to put out a tweet, something like, everyone knows UFOs are real, we've all known this, something like that. Who would believe it? His is the first, if Barack Obama had done a disclosure statement, it would have been shocking. People would be, running to buy toilet paper in the stores and all of that stuff. But they would believe him, I think.
Well, see, and
I don't know if they'd believe Trump.
And that's the issue that we have today, isn't it? With the preponderance of the fake news phenomenon, and we don't know what to believe anymore, or what to trust, or what the power players in Washington, what they are believing, right? We just don't know it anymore. So now we're kind of softened up for the blow of what is real and what is not.
I'm constantly astonished by this discussion about so-called fake news. When in my entire adult life and my career doing research in media and UFOs and whatnot, like things related to this, I have long since concluded that the mainstream media is the source of fake news.
Well, hold on, Richard. We got to take a break right here. We'll pick up with that fake news statement right after the break. It's April Fool's Day. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. We'll be right back. Our guest tonight, yes, it is April Fool's Day, but right now we're doing the serious side with Richard Dolan. I'm your host, Jimmy Church, and we'll be right back. More with Richard. Stay right there. All right, welcome back. Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Our guest tonight, our first guest is Richard Dolan. And yes, this is April 1st, April Fool's Day going into Sunday. And I hope you had a great one. And I hope somebody pulled something on you. But right now, Richard and I are being kind. Richard, we were talking about fake news right before the break. And,
oh, yes.
And this is what is interesting here. Fake news, and with what we deal with here on Coast and what you talk about, now we are in that dangerous territory that if this did break, if something did break, nobody would know what to believe, right? It's kind of like the perfect storm for disclosure.
I believe that the whole meme of fake news is really coming about for a very simple reason, which is that what we have called mainstream news increasingly is losing credibility. I think smart people have been on to this for a longer and longer time. I've done a lot of study of UFOs in the media. And in fact, that might be a booklet that I put out in the near future, to be honest with you. But, whether it's UFOs or any subject, I mean, in our nation's history, we had something that we know about called Operation Mockingbird. That was back in the Cold War,
yep,
during which the CIA manipulated and had on its payroll over 400 American journalists, spinning news and sometimes making news up. This is a very, very well documented, and it's worse now. There are many, many legitimate whistleblowers who are talking about how U.S. intelligence manages U.S. mainstream media, and whether the recently deceased Dr. Udo Ulfkotte of Germany, or formerly of CNN, Amber Lyon, or Cheryl Atkinson, formerly of CBS News, these are mainstream people who've talked about this. Point is that mainstream news, these are the same people who went along with lies 15 years ago about weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. These were fictitious. Anyone looking at the matter knew it was fictitious at the time. I knew it was fictitious at the time. But this was promoted by what was supposed to be establishment news. So they, you know, and their lies, by the way, end up killing people. So, I think what's happened is that they have, they see that many of us are onto them. And all they are doing, in my view, is creating this meme of fake news as a way to rebrand themselves. And I don't know if they're going to succeed or not in the near term, but I think in the long term they will not succeed.
Joseph,
so I think that's why we're seeing it. You and I, we would be considered fake news by those people, absolutely.
Yeah, and it's all, and we don't report fake stuff. You know, we don't do that. Reporting or talking about a UFO sighting that I saw or you saw or a friend of yours saw, that is not fake news. But they right. want to lump us into that category quite unfairly. I wanted to say really quick, Josie just posted this on Twitter. And she says, if I were POTUS, I would pull off the world's most epic April Fool's prank using Blue Beam.
Oh, God.
And there's another example of we wouldn't even know what to trust. You know, if something like that happened, you know, today, we wouldn't know if it was real or not. It would get reported on, but the effect on the population would be the same if it was real or not.
Well, if something like a blue beam were to happen, for sure. This is, you know, the alleged alien false flag invasion that deals with aliens. And I've never been a believer in Blue Beam. I believe in false flags, by the way. I'm writing a book about it, which you can razz me all you want, by the way. It will be out this year. But false flags happen, but the Blue Beam false flag, I've never been a believer. I think, actually, what would be more likely a false flag in the UFO field could be disclosure itself. And I look at it this way. There's a mountain of data on the UFO subject that does exist. It's genuine, real information.
And if the government, U.S. government or any other government for that matter, were to try to release information on this subject, I have to think, particularly if it's U.S., that they would release only a sliver of that mountain. So it would be true information, but it would be a very, very small amount that I think would be spun in the way that would be in their interest. Presumably, the aliens are bad and we're here to save you. Come running to us for protection. I could easily see that. But that would be a kind of false flag, and UFO disclosure could be a kind of a false flag, much more than a blue beam fake alien invasion, which I just don't see them pulling off.
Well, and today, it's getting more and more difficult, isn't it, for them to keep the lid on this because, one, we have night vision technology. Any of us, like you and I have,
right.
We can go out and look at the skies and see things on any given night. We have the internet, the ability to hack and disclose government documents. Now, that could be a very serious way for disclosure to happen that they cannot control how it's done and how it's released.
I think the powers, the power elite, are terrified of the freedoms that we have. The genie's come out of the bottle the last 20 years with all the connectivity, and they are trying their best to put it back in the bottle and to have us all go back to sleep like it's the 1980s again. I don't think that's going to happen, but that's absolutely, I think, on the agenda. And one of the ways to do that is to rebrand themselves as legitimate news and we are fake news. It's just a smear campaign, but we have tools at our disposal. It comes down to citizens and free-thinking people to use their best rationality and common sense as well. And by that, I simply mean we can't allow ourselves to get caught up with every latest claim that comes our way that ends up on our Facebook page. And just posting unclaimed, unverified pieces of information. I don't think that helps us either. We have to learn the best critical thinking skills that we're able to so that we can get through this fog of disinformation that's not coming from the so-called alternative media fake news, but the fake news of the establishment. And we have to do our best to be critically minded. And it's not always perfect. We sometimes are going to make mistakes, but that's the way that's the reality of the situation.
When we look at today, you brought up Twitter, and I kind of want to address that for a second because that tends to be certainly over the last year. I don't think Jack Dorsey expected this to happen with his company when he started it. But it is now the breaking news wire of choice, not only through the White House, but through reporters and everything else. It's the race to Twitter, right? Now, and then we have WikiLeaks. So would disclosure, you would have never dreamed of this, right, when you wrote AD, that the disclosure question could actually happen on a social media outlet like Twitter first. Right? That's kind of bizarre.
It's possible. With something like Twitter, we have to be careful because there's increasing evidence that even Twitter is now being much more censored than ever before. People are having Twitter accounts shut down because their opinions are considered hate speech when, in fact, they're simply dissenters and not hate speech in the least. So Twitter, I think, is a battleground right now as to who's going to control it. And I think the same is happening with Facebook and the same is happening with a lot of the web and a lot of social media. But your point is a good one. We are in such a wide open world where this, and, you know, with organizations like WikiLeaks, and which is really now, I mean, WikiLeaks doesn't even have to do much work. People come to WikiLeaks with their leaks because they're the magnet for it. And so we're in a world now where, things can be leaked and sometimes hacked in a way that we could not imagine 10, 15 years ago. So anything can happen. And the other part of it, though, is that anything can be faked. You know, one of the things that we learned with the WikiLeaks revelation of Vault 7 from the CIA is that the CIA can has a library of malware collected from around the world, from Russia, from Iran, from Israel, from every place in the world, you name it. And they can insert malware into any computer, any source that they want, any target that they want, and make it look like it came from Iran or make it look like it came from Russia or any other nation that they don't want. So that cyber attacks are another area where we're in a new world here. Nothing is as it seems. And so the next time you hear the government claiming that Russia did a hack, be very careful, because what we now know is that the CIA absolutely has the ability and has had for a long time the ability to mimic a cyber attack from any place in the world.
You know what's, I want WikiLeaks security. Why aren't they ever hacked? Right? I mean, I can't quite figure that out.
Well, they're throwing the information out there. So if someone were to hack them, presumably they would hack the information WikiLeaks has received, and they would scoop WikiLeaks on getting it out there. Maybe that's what it is.
And that's it. Wouldn't that be the point? And how come our own government can't circumvent the release from WikiLeaks? I thought that we were supposed to have the best cyber guys out there. It just doesn't make any sense.
WikiLeaks is getting their information because people inside the U.S. government are leaking it to them. This whole CIA Vault 7 stuff, for example, this wasn't a hack. It was actually an inside leak from someone within the U.S. intelligence community.
Yeah, and I guess
current agreement.
Yeah, I guess the point that I'm making, we can't stop WikiLeaks from releasing. There's no way to shut it down. You would think, you know, we've all seen Hollywood, right? Let's go and shut them down.
I'm an open supporter of WikiLeaks. I'm an open supporter of what they have been doing. Without them, we would have no information about the Trans-Pacific Partnership.
That's right.
TPP, which was just going to shut down. We only learn about that through WikiLeaks and many, many other important things that we as world citizens have a right to know about. WikiLeaks has been really the only organization. Also, they have a 100% track record of accuracy, as far as I know. They've never been shown to be inaccurate about anything that they've said or leaked. It's a pretty amazing record.
It is. Now, is there a position that Assange has on disclosure or UFOs? Do we know his position on that? And if he did come across those documents, would he release them, or would he check and vet the documents and make sure that it was cool? Because it would be a history and world-changing event.
Absolutely. I've often wondered about this. You know, a few years ago, I think 5 years ago or so, there was some serious rumors that WikiLeaks had possibly something related to UFOs and that it was going to be released. Obviously, it did not happen. And I don't know. I don't have an in with that organization. Wish I did, but I don't. But I've often speculated. I think that they should have gotten something by now. And if they have, why hasn't it been released? And I just don't have the answer. Do they think it's not credible? Do they think this is silly? Maybe they don't believe that UFOs are real. I really could not tell you. Don't know.
Well, we've got about 5 minutes left, so I do want to before we run out of time to thank you for coming on, so late on a Saturday and joining the show. But also, you're going to be out of contact in the desert next month. Looking forward to hanging out with you again. Maybe we'll have some incredible sightings there, like we did last year. What are you going to be speaking about at Contact in the Desert?
Well, I have to remember what I told them I was going to be speaking about. I think, absolutely, I'm doing a false flag lecture, and I will be doing something on revisiting the whole idea of a secret space program, breakaway civilization, if I'm not mistaken. I'm reworking some of my thoughts on that. I should say to you, I have one other bit of interesting information I guess I would like to say to you here on Coast, which is that over the last, month and a half since early February, I've had some very interesting communications with some individuals. Every now and then I'll run into people who are in the deep state, high-level people and so on, who have interesting things to say about me. This is a little bit different, a little bit more profound, and possibly a little more important for the future of UFO information.
How so?
I don't know how much I really have to say here, but, we're in a new administration, and there are people in there who have access to information, and some of them are looking to get some of this information out. And for whatever reason, they contacted me, and I don't know if I'm the only person that they've talked to, but they are very interested in getting some very important key information out on the subject of UFOs and where that's leading. We've had conversations.
Can you say who it is? Is this like from the Pentagon or is this from the administration?
Well, maybe it's from the administration.
I'm not feeling comfortable right now. Is this something that you feel comfortable enough to talk about? I mean, I have more questions is where I'm going.
Yeah. Well, I guess what I would say about it is because we are now in April and it's April 1st, I'm going to say April Fool's.
Oh, Richard. Richard. Okay, all right.
That was mean.
That was, you know, you got me all excited. Well, you know why that worked? Let me tell you why that worked. You know how excited I am about all of these breaking scientific situations that we are in. Not speculative, but hardcore science. And I know that something's about to bust, and I feel like Washington is going to have to get out in front of it. They're going to have to try to control the dialogue.
Yes.
You know, and so when you say something like that, you're pulling at my heartstrings, man, and you got me.
I felt a little bad when I did that, to be honest with you, but you were nice about it.
All right. Well, it's April Fool's, and, you know, this is the thing, Richard, be looking over your shoulder at Contact in the Desert, because I know that I'm going to be introducing you probably at least once. So
yeah, I deserve a little bit of a smackdown.
Okay. Well, I will ride you a little bit here as we get ready to depart. This book, False Flags, you and I have been talking about now for going on a couple of years, and unless I write the foreword to it, I don't think it's imminent. So what is the deal? When is it coming out?
Well, actually, I'm becoming really excited about it now. So I've got the book coming, and at the same time, I'm writing a series about this for Gaia TV, and I'm really kind of doing both at once, and I can tell you and anyone interested in this that I'm working on this essentially every single day, doing a great deal of writing. I have a lot of this that has been written. So it's a history of false flags, focusing on the modern era, that is the last 100 years, where I think false flag phenomenon really becomes an art form and really takes off and becomes what it is. There were some ancient false flags, but I think they're the exceptions that prove the rule, which is that this is a modern phenomenon. And it will be appearing on Gaia TV. I'm writing it and hosting it. It's a totally unique show. I don't think there's anything in the world that's like this. And I'm very proud. I have an analytical focus on false flags that I think is useful for us and as a way to understand why we are in an era of false flags, because we are. Why, if there were a false flags Olympics, that the United States would win the gold?
Yeah, no doubt.
Hands down, it would win the gold.
Richard.
We are in an era of them, and hopefully one thing that I can do with this book, as well as the series that will be on Gaia, is to help us identify certain features that it's almost like we could create a false flag profile, and that doesn't mean that every event can be called a false flag based on a profile.
Right.
You can only know that through good investigation, but there are certain things that all false flags seem to share. And that's something that we can all learn about.
You're the very best, Richard. Thank you so much. Happy April Fool's Day. And we'll see you in a few short weeks out of Contact in the Desert. Richard Dolan, everybody. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. This is Coast to Coast AM.